I want to discuss a little bit, as we're going to get to, not this week, but not today, but maybe tomorrow, hopefully, will be the time we're going to do the next part of this. Again, we do Sundays and Mondays for this the Emunah Shir. We're going to discuss the first of the Yigim Ikarim starting tomorrow. But I want to discuss the phrase we say, Ani Mamin Be'emunah Shlema. What does Emunah Shlema mean? It literally means full faith. What does full faith mean? So Rapikus explains it means Yediyah Brura. It means full clarity, full knowledge. Usually Emunah and Yediyah are not the same thing. Yediyah means knowledge and Emunah means belief. But Emunah Shlema, full belief, really means knowledge. Now, how do we have that? How do we get full knowledge in any item, in any matter? So it happens to be we had in history twice, back-to-back moments when we were at our lowest, that we were given a bracha, or maybe it was even necessary, to have a moment of full knowledge. And that was Yetzias Mitzrayim and at Har Sinai. Yetzias Mitzrayim means the Yetzias Mitzrayim process, all the makos that happened in Mitzrayim lead up to Kriyas Yamsuf. So we saw things at Kriyas Yamsuf that the greatest Nevi'im themselves later on never saw. We saw things in Mitzrayim, the plagues in Mitzrayim, even though you should know today, there's a book written by somebody named Nachum Sarna, where he goes through logical, scientific, rational explanations of how all the makos took place. He's an Orthodox Jew, but he's really just trying to kind of go through and explain how people suggest each of the makos happened. And he goes through, you can check it out later on yourself and look at it. But all the way up through Kriyas Yamsuf, and then culminating at Matan Torah. And we're zocha then to have a certain clarity that gives us an Emunah Shlema, which means Yediyah. I have full belief because I know. I now know. We read through the Rambam. The Rambam brings down He says, how do we believe regarding what happened in Har Sinai? Our eyes saw it. It wasn't a stranger, someone reporting back to me that I don't know. Our ears heard about it, not someone else's. The fire and the sounds. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes into the cloud, and we heard the voice speaking. Moshe, Moshe, lechem or lehem kach v'kach. Tell Bnei Yisrael X, Y, and Z. V'cheinu omer panim v'vinim diber Hashem imachem. It says in the Torah, Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face. Diber Hashem imachem. Hashem spoke to you, Bnei Yisrael, face to face. Hashem told us the first two of the Dibros. We had an experience in life at some point in time that gave us a clarity of an Emunah Shlema. Not like I'm going to bet on it, but like we have Yediyah, we know. Well, if that's the case, then why do we call it Emunah? If we know about it, it's called Yediyah. Ani Yodea be Yediyah Shlema. That's not what we say. Ani Mamen be Emunah Shlema. Why don't we call it Yediyah? It really means to know. So the Brisker Rav one time was asked the following question. He was asked, how are we going to have any Emunah when Mashiach comes? Right? Mashiach's going to come. We're going to see everything with great clarity. Where is there a place for Emunah? Brisker Rav explains and he says that even when you know certain things, doesn't mean you understand them. Doesn't mean you understand them. I'll give you a mashal. I know my parents love me very much, but there are times in my life, when I was younger, I would say, maybe even a little younger than you guys, that something happens, and I know they love me, but I didn't understand how this demonstrated love. This behavior that they did towards me, I think, does not demonstrate love. I've told you guys a story before, but I'll share it with you again. Some people haven't heard it. Remember when I took my son to the dentist when he was 8 years old, and he had some tooth problems, and the dentist looks, and he after checking him out, he says to me, you know, Avi, I think we got to pull a tooth. Now, my son speaks English, and so did the dentist. And he heard what the dentist said. Looks at me, says to me, you know, Abba, I want to go home. I said, Eliyahu, I understand. I appreciate that. You know, and the dentist says to me, Avi, it's going to get worse. Let me pull the tooth right now. And my son says, Abba, I'm going home. Now, he's 8 years old at the time. He doesn't know how to get home, but he's going home. Dentist says to me, Avi, sit in the chair, hold him down, and I'm going to pull his tooth out. And my son looks at me and says, like, of course he won't do that. Like, he loves me. And I sit down in the chair, and I grab my son, and I, you know, give him a little bear hug. He looks at me and says to me, Abba, don't you love me? At that point in time, if you pause right there, he knows I love him. Of course he knows I love him. But at that moment in time, it doesn't make sense what I'm doing to equal love. We call what we have to Hashem, and even Bemuna Shlema, because I know certain things, but I don't understand other things. And therefore, even though we have a level of knowledge of certain things, I also don't understand fully everything. For example, I'll give an example. I'm reading right now from the Sefer again, from Nefesh Shimshon and Shari Amun, it's called. La'amin perusho la'amin b'dvarim shem l'malam me'hasagaseinu. To believe means to believe in things that we can never understand. B'dvarim sh'anu lo yicholim l'tzayer l'atzmeinu. Things we can't even picture. Aval l'da'a sheish bori olam. But to believe, but to know there's a God, and that the world didn't create itself, that there's a only one single God who defines what it means to be an individual and a one. And that someone is running this ship. Someone's steering the ship. There's a God who gave the Torah to Jewish people. It's called Elin Ladas. That's not to believe in that. You don't need to believe in that. I don't believe that my parents exist. I know my parents exist. It's a no-brainer to me. I don't understand them all the time. I have emuna that what they're doing is in my best interest because I don't understand it. But I know they exist. Mishlo yodea etzeh, who doesn't know, whoever does not know, all we just mentioned, there's a God, he created the world, gave us the Torah, who stam shote shopokeach has enough. He's a fool. He's not a philosopher, he's a fool. He never opened his eyes up. However, he says, gam achrei shalat yodea, even after we know certain things, there's still a makom le'amuna. Because the more you research and investigate God, you're going to come up with questions you don't understand because there's things about God, obviously, we're not going to understand. And that's where emuna comes in. So when we describe the ani mamon be'emuna shalema, we're building up the fact that I know there's a God. I know he wants what's best for me. I don't understand fully why this is what is best for me, but I believe emuna shalema. I'm sure my son now, Eliyahu, will tell you, oh, I fully understand why my father held me down that time. But if I were pause in the moment when I'm busy bear hugging him and the dentist is putting pliers and ripping out his tooth, I can imagine for that second in time, there was a question mark. I hope he never realized, thought that I didn't love him, but he might have questioned whether I had his best interest in mind. And that's okay. We will regularly be found in this world with pliers in our mouth and someone's yanking our tooth out and we're going to question why is that the best thing. That's fine. We can question that. And that's where emuna shlema comes in. I don't understand it. I may never understand it, but I fully believe because I know there's a God. I know his best interest in mind. And though I don't understand how this particular thing works, I can appreciate that it would work. I'll give an example. He says, you can have yidia. Now you may ask the question, and I'm sure some of you were thinking this question. I said before that we know already. We don't believe. We know that there's a God. We know he gave us the Torah. We were there for it. So you probably will tell me, Avi, we weren't there for that. Maybe you'll call me Rebbe because you know you don't call me my first name, which I appreciate, by the way. Avi, we weren't there for that. Now, you told me it's true. I've heard it, but I can't say I was there. I wasn't there for that. So you can have yediyah. You can have full knowledge without even having seen it yourself. I'll give you an example. You know, you've never been to, anyone here been to Russia beforehand? Russia? No. Does Russia exist? Is there a Russia? So like, you might be like, I've heard there is. I have a wrist board I had. I saw a map one time that had the name Russia spelled on it. You know, but I don't know. I've never been there. So, okay, so some people might be, you know, a smart aleck because I've never been there. I don't know. If you go to any Israeli who'd never been to America and you say, is there a nice thing called United States of America? They were all, well, I mean, there was a few days ago. I'm not sure there will be much longer. What has happened right now is going on right now. But at least, you know, there was a United States of America. At least there is right now. I'm not forgetting what happens next week. So we can be confident. And they'll tell you they know. They know 100% sure that there's America. How do you know? You've never been there. Because everyone talks about it. And people I know who have been there. None of us, I don't think, ever have gotten a box score of a sport game and afterwards said, I don't know if that happened. I'm not sure that they won. I mean, my team really won. Yeah, I wasn't there for it. Yeah, but someone else was there, wrote up the whole thing. And yeah, but I didn't see. We don't need to see things to know. We just have to be confident in the source that's giving us that information. That's not called belief. That's called knowledge. Belief is when we don't understand it fully. But the knowledge that there was this place called United States of America, that's a knowledge. The knowledge that God gave us the Torah, that's going to be for us also a knowledge. The Yud Gimel Ikarim, the 13 principles of faith, are called Emunah Shlema Ani Ma'amin. Why? Because there's a lot of, we have full-fledged confidence in God, and we believe 100% what all the things that we're going to read about starting tomorrow are true and are real. We call them Emunah because we don't understand what they mean fully. We describe Schar Ba'onesh, right? That's one of the things we're going to talk about later on, Schar Ba'onesh. I know what it means, reward and punishment. Do I understand how God's Reward and punishment works? Absolutely not. I don't understand how he weighs certain things, because you can't understand it, because it's not one, you know, formatted answer. Every person, every situation is very different. So I'll say about Schar Onish, I have emuna shlema about it. Because I have yediyah, I have belief and knowledge in a God, but I don't understand how Schar Onish works, but I believe it to be, because God, who I know, not I believe, I know exists, I know runs the world, so I believe in a concept I can't fully understand that God also runs that as well. That's how our trust in God lets us have emunah shlema, things we don't fully understand. Everything besides Hashem in the world has limitations. Even our imagination has limitations. I remember one time, I think it was Gemara, maybe in Brachos, certain things you can't imagine. If you've never seen it, you can't imagine it. I think there was a movie called Inception, where I never really saw this inside, but I would love to see it at some point in time. But you're trying to put imaginations in people's minds that they would imagine. Because if you put something they wouldn't imagine, then they know it's not real. You're trying to make them think it's real. But you also can't imagine things that you can't imagine. Meaning you can't imagine things that are impossible. You even with our own imagination, we have limitations as to what our imagination can possibly give us. Whatever our mind can conjure up is what we can imagine. Sheker, false, has limitations because it's all imagined. False is things that are pretend or imagined. Even though there's maybe billions of possibilities, there is a point when it ends. Maybe this is how you explain it, maybe that. But truth regarding God has no limitations because God has no limitations. I'll read to you another passage inside here for a second. Hashem, what he did was he gave us the opportunity to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our senses. Atem re'isem ki min ha-shamayim dibarti aleichem. You've seen this, right after the Matan Torah, Shmos Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Ches, you've seen that I've spoken with you from the heavens. Eich ra'inu. How do we see? So yeshnam chamisha chushim, we have five senses that we live with. Re'iya, shmiya, mishush, tam, re'ach. We see, we hear, we can touch, we can taste, we can smell. Misha iver lo yodea ma perish l'ros. A person who's blind can't explain what it means to see. If you were blind from birth, that means you never saw. There are certain chushim, certain senses that have a certain super strength to them. L'mashal, yesh re'iya pshuta, yesh re'iya shenikres nevuah. You have seen, then you have prophecy. Prophecy is when you see something that you know for sure happened. If you know, again, you can also see something that you know happens, not prophecy. When you have a prophecy, there's no question that what you saw is what you saw. You don't afterwards think, was that what I really saw? Maybe I just dreamt that. At Kriyas Yamsuf, every person understood exactly what they had seen. At Matan Torah, Hashem created it in a way that every single person knew exactly what they saw. That was necessary to have the Mesorah be passed down from that point forward. So that when our parents would teach, when parents teach their children, they wouldn't do so by there was some strange event that I thought was this or I heard was that. No, they have the clarity and the confidence. Because that's what a Nevuah does. Atem re'isem, Hashem says, you saw what took place. Not that you saw if it was out of bounds off of me or off of Seth. No, you saw exactly what happened. And you, Hashem could say you saw because it was a prophecy level involved in that. And that's necessary for our Mesorah to be passed down properly as well. Our Mesorah is built off of this concept. L'dugma, read around another few lines. L'dugma, for example. Etzim adavar shenoagim Yehudim b'chol tfusa Yisrael. The proof that we have this Mesorah that's been passed down with such care and such careful nature is that a minhag we have in Klal Yisrael, she'echad kori v'tos, lo mitmashmuti b'kriyas haTorah. On the Shabbos, some guy is reading the Torah and he says, who instead of he? Everyone jumps on him, right? He, right? Or, he said, l'cha instead of l'ach. Yeah, every kid is like so excited, they're waiting for that moment in time. Yes, we got the Baal Kor. This is like a Mesorah we have for some reason throughout all of Klal Yisrael. But the bottom line is that, otri mitakim Mesorah, they stop him and they correct him. Yeshnam hayom milyone anashim shekorim as a parsha of Rechel Targum. There are millions of, hopefully, millions of people in the world who read the parsha every single week. Shavuos is an unbelievable thing. You talk about Matan Torah all over again. We built into our system that every person sees and learns. Many religions that you have in the world, you have like the leaders who are studiers. The leaders are giving lectures, and the followers are listening and not really holding at all. You know what's going on around them. It's not like that for Judaism. People who are businessmen, who are doctors, who are lawyers, who are accountants, are reading every single week the Parsha. And they're going to shul and listening to the Parsha like every other person in the world is. We've put into our system a Mesorah that since the time Moshe Rabbeinu on Shabbos, as people read from that portion, from that section. They did so to keep Mesorah going, where there's never a gap in generations that people were not studying and were not aware of what was going on in the Torah. There's a beautiful thing, a program called Arachim. Have you ever heard before? Arachim is like a Kiruv program. They were here in Eretz Yisrael. And what they did one time was that they created a program to try to figure out, let's say, you know, they made a scenario, the Holocaust. And right now, it's not so hard to imagine. The Holocaust is being challenged about its veracity. Did it ever really happen? And they've tasked you with the challenge of how do you make sure that the Holocaust is never forgotten? What do you do to make sure that after generation is never forgotten? So you might say that the people he tested said every year people wear certain clothing once a year, tell over the story that happened so they never forget about it, right? We have that. You know what it's called? It's called Pesach Seder. The Pesach Seder we have is the Jewish people, we never forget that what happened, and we have different dress and different props we have in the Seder, and we tell a story over every single year. We do that already. That's what you would do. That's what Chazal put in nature, so you never lose sight of it. Or there was a story, they asked, you know, you're in Syria right now, and you have to send message back to the command front, and you have to make sure that they know it's from you, Dafka. How do you get the message across? Hopefully, I think you guys, when you went to Discovery, you know, heard the Esha Torah presentation, this idea of putting into codes, into the Torah, of how we can know that the person who's speaking to us, which is God, is the one who's in control and able to. So how do you do? So they whatever they suggest to do. So we have that in the Torah. I mean, the Torah put into it a system where you can never doubt it. Whether it be predictions that it describes what's going to happen, or promises, nevuah, you go make Aliyah LeRegel and your house will be protected. Whatever you want to say in the end, the Torah is full of these things to make sure that you never question that Mesorah. That we believe animam and bemuna shleima, not in God. In God, I have yediyah brura. I know there's a God in the world. I know He created it. I know He gave us the Torah. I was there for that. And maybe I wasn't. But my parents were there for that. Maybe they weren't. But their parents were that. So on and so forth. Generations. How many generations are in the world even up till now? Whatever there are. 100 generations from then. So every parent wants to give their kid truth. They don't want to lie to their children. And if you have a lie, that lie won't be consistent among every parent, every child. The fact that we want our children to understand truth, and we pass it onwards and we protect it, that's the source of everything that we have. We have childhood experience that we've grown up with, that our parents grew up with when they were children as well. They pass down their hearts, you know, experience. They pass down the existence of experience to their children after them. And we're living today with that as well. More than that, Torah learning is not a passive experience. It's not passive. You don't sit and listen and just absorb. You're trained to be critical. You're trained to ask questions. Rashi, whose job it is to give just pasuk shot on Chumash, on Gemara, and on Tanakh, whatever it is, the very first Rashi in the entire Torah, he asked a question. He starts with a question. Why did Rav Yitzchak, you know, Rav Yitzchak asked the question, why did the Torah start with this mitzvah? Because that's how we're trained to keep our Torah intact, is by being critical, is not letting anyone get away with anything. Every person, every opinion is on trial, and we challenge it, rip it apart. You try to make something up, we'll find out about it. It's made up. We'll figure it out, because we're going to analyze. You know, you have now in the country, people always say fact check, right? Fake news. So the point is that you can have in the world a lot of fake news sometimes. But the Torah created a way where you can't be fake, because you have to challenge it versus it. People in the stands are waiting to listen and jump on your back about it. Constantly, everyone is studying the same thing. What other work in the world do you know of that a first grader and a Gadol HaDor will study the same subject, the same book, the same edition? You know, when you're studying mathematics, so you have, you know, the addition is what you study. And I don't know, first, second, third grade, whatever you study, first, second, third grade. When you're in higher mathematics, you're not studying the you know, addition tables anymore. Whether they're the calculus, you know, differentials, whatever you're studying right now, you're not studying addition. What other world of study do we know of that the same second graders are studying the same text that our Goli Ador is studying? Shemek of Echer Targum. Studying the same thing. You know why? Because the Torah is Ein Sofi. Everything else in the world is limited. The Torah is Ein Sofi. It's unlimited. It's infinite. And while you learn Shnayim Mikra, those maybe you guys started this past year, but you learn it hopefully for another 100 years to come. And every single time you learn it, you're going to find another Chiddush somewhere, in some Parsha, in some Rashi. Why? Not because you were lazy the first time. Because there's jewels to be unearthed all the time in Torah learning. That's how God created the Torah, to make sure that our tradition would stay intact, We would make sure to never question where everything is coming from. And I'll just end with one last point, and I'll sum it up. There's something called emuna pshuta also. Emuna pshuta means simple emuna, a simple belief. We're describing right now the idea of like investigating and critically analyzing, critical thinking. So where's room for emuna pshuta, for simple belief? Where's room for that? So the answer is, I'll give you a mashal. I'll quote again from Pinkus that he gives over here. He says, "Shneinu nichlasim le'ezeh bayit." We walk together in a house. The two walk together in a house. Vani omer tireh ech samud adel betzad. Lechichim lasim otav be'emsa. I said, look how they put the door in the side of the house. They shouldn't put it in the middle of the house. I said, "Tav omer li." But you say back to me, "Mi omer lachash mishu banas abayis." How do you know someone put it there? Maybe it just happened. Ube'emes mi amar li shmishu banas abayis. You know, it's a good point. Do I know who made the house? I don't know who made the house. Maybe no one made the house. Maybe it just happened. I don't need to know. I have simple belief. There's a house. It's structured. Someone put it together. Same exact way. We believe what our eyes saw. There's no conspiracy theories going on over here in Judaism. We saw it. Our parents saw it. They passed it down. They believed it. Emuna pshuta. They didn't believe what they learned. They believed mashara, what they saw. We believe what we're learning. Why? Because someone else saw it. And we believe in the person who saw it. My child believes that I love him, doesn't understand why I'm holding him, but he believes that I love him and he knows me. We know Hashem. We know because someone else who we love, who was in the chain of our ancestors, did see it and passed down to his children. And I have that Masorah as part of me. And the Torah wanted to make sure we never lose that Masorah and created systems in place. We would never lose sight of that. We have a Pesach Seder every single year. Like in Arachim, they suggested to have a Holocaust, you know, memory once a year. We do that anyways for our Seder. And we have Torah reading every single week. And the kids jump on the people reading and say, no, lach, not lacha, he, not who. It's insignificant, really, when it comes to the big picture. But we're so machmir that we don't want any word of Torah to be misunderstood and mispronounced even. And the Torah promises things. It predicts things that we see coming true. And we see who could have promised that if not from a God. So I have no question about a Yediyah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I don't understand fully is what or why. That's Amunah B'Shuta. That requires more. That requires me to do Amunah Chakura. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but investigative Amunah. And that's where we're going to discuss now, not now, but starting tomorrow, the Ani Mamins. Ani Mamin B'Amunah Shalema. It's a full Amunah that I have. It's not a Yediyah because I don't fully understand it, but I fully believe it. Because I understand that you, God, exist. Though I don't understand why this is a rule. I don't understand how this is a rule. But like my son hopefully knows that I love him. And this is for his best interest. I, too, God, know about you because my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather saw something and told his child and put into place a system where it would never be lost from us forever. And it got to me where I am today. And now I'm zocheh to be part of a Masorah, part of a chain, where I'm going to try to study the Ani Mamins, to have Emuna Shleima, not Yediyah, but Emuna. Because the Emuna comes from me knowing that you exist and that you are telling me certain things. And though I won't fully comprehend it, maybe I'll do my best that I can to try to understand it, as much of it as possible. And with that, we will close today. And Mr. Shem, tomorrow, pick up the first one of the 13 Ani Mamins. We'll stop over here.